And sometimes by just looking a little bit in the past to similar industries, we can potentially learn how we may be able to make the right decisions to help power our future in the restaurant industry.
What's up, Zach Oates here, author, entrepreneur, and customer relationship guru. Welcome to Give an Ovation, growth strategies for restaurants and retailers, where we find industry leaders to share their secrets to grow your business. This podcast is sponsored by Ovation, the actionable guest feedback tool that works on or off premise and is easy, real time, and actually drives revenue. Learn more at ovationup.com. Welcome to another edition of Give an Ovation. I am joined by John DiLoretto, who is a recovering finance guy, the number one employee at GoParrot, worked up to VP of sales. He is now the president of FlipDish America, digital ordering and marketing platform. And John, so glad to have you on Give an Ovation.
Hey, Zach. Great to be with you today. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, man. So tell me, what does FlipDish do?
Sure. So it's pretty simple. So FlipDish, we make the process of running a digital restaurant effortless. That's the idea. We help restaurant owners and operators, whether you're small or large, build and run your digital business successfully.
Awesome. And you've done some really cool stuff in your career. One of the things that's really interesting is I know that having a finance background, you know, you've been researching and looking at a lot of different deals. And I know that you and I have chatted about a really super interesting competitive analysis, comparative analysis with sure. Kind of what happened 20 years ago with some different industries, what's happening today. Share with us a little bit more about that.
Sure. So, you know, what I thought maybe we could chat about today a little bit is how can restaurant operators learn from the past to help kind of power their future. Mm-hmm. And I think the restaurant industry today is going through a bit of a digital transformation, but it's one that has actually occurred in both the retail industry, so think selling clothing online or jewelry, and one that's also occurred in the process of booking a hotel online or booking a car online, think like, yeah, type experience. And so I think, you know, we don't have to look too far in the past, you know, even just in the past 10 to 20 years to see some really interesting dynamic shifts that have happened in those industries. And I think you'll find that there's some pretty similar comparisons that are playing out in the restaurant industry today. And sometimes by just looking a little bit in the past to similar industries, we can potentially learn how we may be able to make the right decisions to help power our future in the restaurant industry.
Yeah. So how do you mean? What types of things have you seen that we could learn from in the past? Because totally agree, right? It's like,
sure,
that's the whole reason that we read books about startups and restaurants and Danny Meyer setting the table, because we want to learn from other people. We want to learn from the past. We want to, you know, not repeat mistakes that we don't have to.
Sure. Well, would it be all right if I shared my screen just briefly while we talk? I know we'll continue to highlight everything in audio, but just to capture a little bit along the way, would that be okay?
Yeah, let's do it.
So this may look strange to you, but this is an actual CNN headline from August 10th, 2000. And many people don't actually know this, but in 2000, Toys R Us actually partnered with Amazon to outsource their entire e-commerce business. And just let that sink in for a minute. So Toys R Us, a company that, I don't know, maybe you grew up, maybe there's a chance you visited one.
I'm a kid now.
Exactly.
There we go.
But I think they might be Pampers, but it's close enough. Anyhow, they do have a famous jingle. They've got a famous draft. And Toys R Us was a fixture, you know, in the American children's lives for years. This is massive business, very, very successful business. And, you know, in 2000, which 20 years ago, they had a fledgling kind of e-commerce business. And they said, you know what? It's only maybe 10%, maybe 30% of our business. It's not really that big of a deal. We're just going to outsource it to an expert whose focus is on digital commerce. And it's funny because, you know, that sounds very familiar to a line I've heard from a lot of operators in the restaurant industry recently. And that line is typically, oh, my off-premise business or my digital ordering business is only 10 to 30% of my business. No big deal. I will just outsource it to a DoorDash or an Uber Eats. They are the experts. Not a big deal. And tell you what, with Amazon and Toys R Us, that didn't turn out so well. No. Within literally, you know, a year, the partnership fell apart. And when these companies got together, what's really interesting is that, you know, the general market thought, oh, this is a great idea. Analysts were saying, this is brilliant. Toys R Us is making a great move. This is fantastic. This is going to pan out really well. And there's some really interesting tidbits here to look back at, because 20 years later, we have some incredible perspective. So there's quotes like this from Jeff Bezos that goes, you know, we know nothing about running a physical store. We're just focused on kind of our e-commerce business. Mm-hmm. If you look at any headline in the news today, you know, Amazon is powering some of the most futuristic physical, you know, stores in the world today, including, you know, whether it's their grocery business or their traditional kind of retail business. And there's also some interesting tidbits that Toys R Us said, this is actually going to get us to profitability earlier because we're partnering with an innovative technology company. And they said, this is the best decision we could make because we're partnering with the experts in this space. And interestingly enough, you know, Amazon said, look, we don't know anything about this business. We've never been in brick and mortar. We're just a digital company. You have nothing to worry about.
Yeah.
And, you know, that would be too expensive for us. And the Amazon said, don't worry, we'll handle your customer relationships. We're going to handle customer service and fulfillment. We're going to let you do all of the hard work of selecting and managing your inventory.
So to me, really, they handled the customer service. Amazon.
Yes. Yep. And to me, that rings very familiar to, you know, when a restaurant works on a marketplace and they say, oh, we're going to handle delivering your food. And if there's a complaint, we're going to handle the customer service, mm-hmm. not the restaurant. And very interestingly, they said, hey, you're the restaurant. We're going to make you have to deal with managing inventory and selecting your menus and going through all of that hard work of actually having a brand digitally. We're going to handle everything else. And at the time, this seemed innovative and, wow, this is a great idea. But turns out it wasn't really a great idea. And within 2 years, the two were butting heads and the deal fell apart. And by 2006, there was a very ugly lawsuit that played out. And this actually forced Toys R Us, which was a massive business at the time, to start over. So 6 years later, they're learning from the past mistake and they're having to start over. And that's only putting them 6 years behind. And then it really wasn't until 15 years later, after they outsourced their business, that they realized this is super important to own our customer relationships. And they actually brought it all in-house. And then, you know, a few years later, I think we all know what happened. Unfortunately, Toys R Us went bankrupt.
Yeah, there's a big empty building two blocks away from me.
Yeah. And now this played out over a period of 20 years. And when e-commerce was just kind of grabbing hold, but we have a unique opportunity to look back and say, you know, what kind of went wrong? Where did they make any decisions where they could have had a better opportunity? And how can we learn from this? And I think what's really interesting about this is fast forward 20 years, and unfortunately, our industry, the restaurant industry, is facing a lot of these same challenges today. And those are, you know, how do you engage directly with your customers? How do you own direct relationships? So I'll show you a brief example of how this, unfortunately, is still playing out. So in 2019, you might have seen this headline splash across many large news articles that DoorDash was launching their ghost kitchen space for operators. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know about a ghost kitchen, essentially it's a marketplace is providing the actual physical location. They're providing the logistics. They're helping with manage the operation, et cetera. And they're asking a restaurant just to come in and cook. And what's really interesting about this is when we look at the quotes from the operators who joined the venue, they actually look almost identical to the same quotes that both Amazon and Toys R Us said 20 years ago. We're thrilled to be partnering with DoorDash. It's exciting that we can bring our concept to more users. The same conversation that was being had. We're excited to sell more toys online. And what's really interesting is once again here, you know, a comment from an operator saying they're going to help us bring science to this and data, and they're going to help us better understand our business. And as we all know how that played out with Toys R Us and Amazon, it was in fact the opposite. By doing the partnership, what really happened was the technology company, the marketplace, was learning more than the restaurant did and was actually taking advantage of that to build their future endeavors.
Yeah. Interesting. So, I mean, when you look at Toys R Us versus a restaurant, right? And a lot of people will hear that, and the first thing that they'll think is, okay, but look, like, you know, John's Burger Joint isn't a Toys R Us. But the flip dish side of that is the fact that there's a lot more technology now, right? Toys R Us had to build it from the ground up. That was a huge investment in a speculative space at the time. They just had the dot-com bubble burst. You know, it was very antsy. And so it was easy to say, it's an easy sell, hey, let's go to Amazon, right? Because they've already got this infrastructure. They survived the dot-com bubble. So let's go with them, and our margins are going to look like this. When you're a single location restaurant, it's easy to go to DoorDash because, or Grubhub or Uber Eats, because they've got a customer base and they're going to be bringing you customers. Now, granted, unless you drastically change your menu, most restaurants are going to be losing money on those orders.
Sure.
But then there's supportive technology like Flipdish, like other things, where you don't have to build it from the ground up as a restaurant. There's tools that allow you to have the, you know, to the flip switch to turn something on that you can sell your products. And so it's the advantage that Toys R Us didn't have 20 years ago of having that option of making it easy for them to, you know, there wasn't a WooCommerce. There wasn't these platforms that you could just put in your stuff and turn it on. Like, they would have had to build that. You know,
exactly. And that's what's changed. And so, as you know, now an owner operator with very little cost to them can set up their own digital store, their own website, their own mobile app, and start engaging with their customers with communication online. And so, look, if that didn't ring true enough, I'll just give it one or two more anecdotes. You know, a very funny line, and, you know, in the press release, they said that they were both going to co-brand both the Toys R Us website and the Amazon site. I mean, we're seeing this play out still today. This is an example literally from Dunkin' Donuts website of them co-branding with DoorDash 20 years later.
That is something where I'll be totally honest. I get that sometimes you need third party and you can leverage those customers, use it as a marketing tool to get them over to become your customers. What I don't understand though is why, when you have customers in the door, would you be promoting that you're on these third party sites? Because I don't want a customer walking in my door to go and give 20% to someone else. They're in my door. Yep. I should own them. Right. Anyway, that's just something that for me, I don't, as a business guy, I don't understand that. You know, I don't know if there's some other factor involved here, but to me, it's like, if they're in your door, you should own them. Don't be promoting a 20% commission to someone when you don't need to.
Exactly. Now, look, I think, you know, we can take a stand here and change. And as an industry, we can say, look, we need to build our own digital business because this isn't going anywhere. But I think the flip side to that, if we don't take it seriously today, and we don't invest in our own digital brand, you know, the results may not be so exciting. And I can show you just an example of what this is looking like today. You may be familiar with a line of Amazon products called Amazon Basics. Over the past 10 years or so, Amazon has studied those that are on its platform, products and services. It started with batteries and backpacks. Today, it's sophisticated products. And they went out and started selling their own products directly against those listed on their marketplace, because they had better data, better understanding, better logistics, and could actually price things cheaper. This exact thing is happening in the restaurant industry. Oh. And it's not behind closed doors. It's out in public. This past summer, DoorDash publicly launched their DashMart, where they're actually selling convenience store items directly from the DoorDash properties to customers in direct competition with the brands on their marketplace. And, you know, it starts today with prepared meals and with convenience store items such as, you know, deodorant or shaving cream, whatever it may be. Tomorrow it could be hot dogs, chicken sandwiches, as we know, you know, ghost restaurants and whatever that may be is the thing. It's, you know, not that far of a jump to say that, you know, the exact marketplaces that have been harnessing all the data from restaurants could take that data and turn it directly on the restaurants themselves as a competitor, the same way that Amazon has done so with their Amazon Basics line.
Interesting. Yeah, that's totally true. I mean, right? Because basically the game with Amazon is you want to sell, but not sell too well. Because if you start selling too well, then Amazon's going to come in, but you need to sell well enough to make money. So there's like a really thin margin if you don't have a super unique product that's patented and you're the only one that can make it. Amazon's going to see what's selling super well, find a way to do it themselves and bid you out of the box.
Exactly. And so unfortunately, you know, for if restaurants don't take this seriously and do not take their digital strategy seriously, they may very quickly find themselves in competition with that very same partner who they signed up with to do just their logistics and their delivery could in fact be cooking right next to them.
Well, and quite frankly, from the third party perspective, they have raised so much money, an obscene amount of money, because they are bleeding. And what's their strategy? Their strategy is not to keep losing money. Their strategy is to eventually make money. How do they make money? They got to sell stuff, right?
Yep, exactly. There's only two ways. You can make the delivery cheaper or you can make the supply cheaper. And unfortunately, I don't think electronic, you know, vehicles, autonomous vehicles and, you know, delivery robots are coming anytime soon. And so these companies are going to make profit in the next 10 years. They're going to have to squeeze the supplier. And that can either mean higher costs for the restaurant, higher prices, you know, instead of 35%, is it going to be 50% per transaction? Or they're going to need to find a way to make the food cheaper. And that means they're going to actually have to go into direct competition with the restaurants to make that happen.
Exactly. So I guess the punchline of all this, John, is like, okay, so we see all this stuff happening. What do I do? I'm a restaurant owner. What do I do? I can see the writing on the wall, but sure. I've also kind of worked out my menu and, you know, where I've got a higher priced menu on DoorDash. And sure. So like I'm not losing money, but there's no loyalty coefficient, meaning that, sure. that I don't own that customer data. So I can't get them. I can't email yep. them or text them to get them to come back. Right.
Sure.
So what do I do? What do you recommend to your restaurants?
What we recommend to operators is to put together a plan to build and establish your digital presence. So it starts with first making sure that you have a website that's easy and accessible, and that not only does the website display things like your hours of operation, but it has your menu and a quick and easy way to order directly from the website, and one that works well on mobile as well. That's really just the basics. In addition to that, we recommend restaurants make sure that they're looking after their Google My Business profile, which is oftentimes the first places where people actually find or discover a restaurant on either Google Maps or Google Search. And every restaurant has the ability to claim their Google My Business page and update their information, such as their direct ordering link, their hours of operation, if they're open for takeout or delivery, et cetera. And the last one is, you know, making sure that their social media, so their Facebook page and their Instagram page, are both up to date, and that they're actually proactively, you know, communicating with their customers and they're expressing their voice and they are speaking to customers on those digital platforms the same way they would if someone came in person. And that's really kind of the core starting foundation for, you know, any restaurant out there. I think for those that want to take it one step further, there's an opportunity to, you know, move into a mobile application so you can actually have a direct conversation with clients. There's an opportunity to move into, you know, other digital channels such as like kiosks or text message ordering or SMS communication, like you know very well. But ultimately, I think the goal is to engage with your customers digitally the same way that you would do in person, because customers are increasingly becoming more and more digital. And as we know, that's not going away. And so the sooner that you can start to engage with customers digitally, whether it's simply just your website or it's through a text message conversation or through, you know, a mobile application, the better chance you have to actually continue that conversation, continue that engagement, and actually build relationships with digitally native or digitally centric customers the same way that restaurants have been doing it, you know, for eternity in person.
I totally agree. John, this has been an awesome podcast. Here are my takeaways. Number one, learn from the past. This isn't the first rodeo that this has happened. And so learn from that. Number two, beware of not owning your customer data. You need to own that. That is more valuable than the food that you're selling, is the customer data. Number three, don't sell third party to customers that are already in your door.
Exactly.
I just think that's, exactly. This co-branded thing is a little bizarre. Number four, digital presence. Get your website with menu ordering hours. Get your Google presence. Get your social media up to date and engage. And you got one more thing to share with us, John.
Well, look, big or small, the writing is on the wall for those that don't take this seriously. Not too long ago, Pizza Hut partnered up with DoorDash. And not to say that that was the extent of why their largest franchisee declared bankruptcy, but what it was related to was not taking their digital strategy seriously enough. And you don't have to be Pizza Hut to do this. You can be a food truck, a taco stand, or a mom and pop restaurant. Digital technology is affordable and accessible. And if you take it seriously, you have an opportunity to continue to thrive, even in a current environment that we're facing.
John, how do people find you, follow you?
Sure. So you can find us at www.flipdish.com. I'm available on LinkedIn, John DiLoretto, and always happy to chat with an owner operator on advice and strategy. And anyone on the Flipdish team would be happy to have a consultative call to make some recommendations or suggestions about how to build your brand digitally.
Awesome. Well, John, for giving us this incredible history lesson, helping us learn from our past, and for reminding me the difference between I'm a big kid now and I don't want to grow up because I'm a Toys R Us kid. Thank you for reminding me the difference of those jingles, Pampers, Toys R Us. Anyway, today's ovation goes to you. Thank you for joining us, John. Sure do appreciate it, man.
Awesome. Thanks, Zach. Great to be with you.
Likewise. Bye-bye. Glad you're with us today, and thank you. Thank you to the risk takers, the troublemakers, the crazies who are keeping this world clothed and fed. You're the ones who deserve an ovation. Again, this podcast was sponsored by Ovation. To see how we can help you grow your business, go to ovationup.com. Don't forget to subscribe. And as always, remember to give someone in your life an ovation today.